Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Of life. I'm just going to read one scripture. Nehemiah. Chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. I have a strong burden for somebody who walk into church today with heaviness in your heart. I don't know who I'm talking to. With heaviness in your heart. I don't know what it is that is troubling you. I don't know what took your sleep last night. But there's burden in your heart. There's pain you literally feel, almost like a physical thing, because of what is going on in your head. I don't know where you are, but this morning, the Lord gave me a word for you. I wanted to preach on Thanksgiving, which is what we're supposed to do today. The Lord said, no. He said, just speak about the joy of the people. And I'm speaking this morning on nothing shall steal your joy. Nothing shall steal your joy. That's what I'm speaking about this morning. This is not a Thanksgiving message, but this is what He asked me to talk to you about this morning. Nehemiah 8:10. Everybody want to go? Then He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, even send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Okay, by the way, that's what you're going to do this Christmas in the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen, somebody. Don't just eat alone. Send portion to somebody. Give your neighbor. Send a bag of rice to someone. You can afford it. Send food. Buy some foodstuff. Give to someone else. You know, by the way, one family in this church, and I'm going to announce, I was going to announce that later, but let me just mention it because we're talking about it. One family in this church bought 50 bags of rice for widows. That's not all. Wait, they also bought the condiments that go with rice. You can't eat rice alone, am I correct? So you must have other things that go with the rice to make it complete stew. Bought those other things along with it. Then also gave out what do you call it now? Clothes for young boys, children, young girls, and so many things we can't even begin to talk about. I'm sure the care committee will arrange on the distribution how it will go. That's not my anointing and all that, but a lot of things, clothes, foodstuff, and so just one family. Just that's not their Thanksgiving. That's not their Thanksgiving. They have their Thanksgiving separate. But this is Christmas is coming. We are doing this as a gift to people. Is anybody hearing me? As a gift. 50 bags of rice, plenty food items. Then they also have clothes. Male, female, children, teenagers, different categories of clothes for different people. That's just one family. Just one family. And God will bless them. Just as God will bless you also. Because you have been given also. You have been given also. So God will remember you for good. Say amen, somebody. But I'm also challenging you, as Christmas is coming, reach out to someone. Put a smile on someone's face. Make somebody happy. Make a family that had no hope, make them have hope. Amen. Say a better amen. All right, let's finish the Bible verse we're reading. I've not even gotten to the point I really needed. We're starting from 4, right? For this day, everybody to go. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your what? I can't hear you. For the joy of the Lord is your what? Is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This morning I want to speak to you on what I've titled, nothing shall steal your joy. Nothing will steal your joy. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. Now, if you are the one I'm talking to that came to church with heaviness in your heart, can you put your two hands on your chest? I don't know who is the person, but the Lord said to me, there are people that just walked in this morning, can't even sleep at night. Everything, just put your hands on your chest. I don't know what it is, but I came to declare over you, the devil will not steal your joy. I said, the devil will not steal your joy. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that this morning God will not only deliver you from the present battle, but God will prepare you for the future battles ahead of you. Every battle from hell to steal your joy, I declare that by this prophetic word, God already gave you victory in the name of Jesus. And not only in this season of Thanksgiving, but beyond this season, your joy, no man, no circumstance, no situation will steal from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please, this sound, somebody tampered with this sound just now. This sound was good until I started praying now. Somebody has done something to the sound. Please return it back to where it was before now, so we don't have any problem this morning. I beg you in God's name, please. Somebody just tamper with this sound right now. Hallelujah. Once again, welcome to second Thanksgiving service. The sound is not good. The sound is not good. The sound is still not good. I beg you, please. There's a hollow in my voice that is literally hurting my ears. Please get rid of it. I don't know who touched this thing. And to all of you worshiping with us online, thank you. We love you so much. And thank you for making it on this beautiful Sunday. Every turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, sorry I forgot to tell you, you look good. And look at the neighbor on the other side and say, neighbor, I'm sincerely sorry. I forgot to tell you how beautiful you look. Amen. All right. I think the announcements they're going to take, the only announcement I'll just take out of this is the fact that our English teacher, his birthday was on the 2nd of December. Anybody knows our English teacher? Please help me say happy birthday, Pastor Obioma. Where is he? He's outside. Okay. He will come in. He's teaching somebody outside. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Talk to him. Are you still there? Say after me, say, nothing shall steal my joy. For the last time, say, nothing shall steal my joy. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, isn't it interesting that, help me, Holy Spirit. I'm trying to not to go to my slide now. I want to just say something important, and then before I get into my slides for this morning. Okay, I think there's an intro I should take. I don't know whether the intro is captured on my slides. Is the intro there? Okay, fantastic. Okay, so I said joy is not a suggestion. It's a spiritual strategy, right? Come on, talk to me, yes? Joy is not a feeling, it's a force. Joy is not an outcome, it's an armor. In a world where bad news travels faster than light, where unexpected tragedies strike families without warning, where mental pressure is in an all-time high, the Lord sent me to declare over you, nothing shall steal your joy. Can I hear amen, somebody? Joy is God's preservation technology. When joy is intact, strength is intact. When joy is intact, destiny is protected. When destiny is protected, tragedy cannot prevail. Say amen, somebody. Amen. You can remove that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen attentively to me. Listen to this. How many of you are aware that anytime the enemy wants to take you out, it doesn't come to say, I'm taking you out. One of the first things the enemy takes from you is your joy. Now, last Sunday, I shared a very personal testimony about my wife. But let me give you a bit of detail to that testimony. So, I told you at 3 a.m. I got a phone call. It was my son. Now, my son doesn't call, except there is a new shoe to be bought. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, any witnesses in the house? Boys don't call you to say, ah, daddy, how are you doing? Actually, my son does once in a while. Daddy, I've missed you. He does. But generally, you know, boys are not the calling type. Now, women, they call. Come on. Please talk to me now. If you have a boy and a girl, the ratio of call is 1 to 100 between the boy and the girl. Mr. Franklin, am I correct? You have a boy, you have a girl. Boys don't get your time. If they call you, say, look, daddy, I need a new laptop. Or something like that. So, this guy is calling me at 3 a.m. I pick the call. And there was bad news. And everybody is wailing in my family. When I say wailing, wailing is different from crying. And immediately after then, I told you how, because I'm confused. I don't even know what to say. I'm so confused that my brain was suspended, literally. But the only thing I has called Professor Deborah. And immediately, I just made a connecting call. I didn't go off the phone with my son. I made a connecting call, and then she came on board, and I just told her the medical report. And she was already hearing the wailing going on. Then we prayed from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. No discussion. We prayed. But this is the point. 6 o'clock on the dot when we dropped that call. The next thing I heard my wife say is, I don't have cancer. I cannot have cancer. I do not have cancer. I kept quiet. Then we show up in the hospital. And then the doctor asks, are you the one that has the liver cancer? I say, no, I don't have liver cancer. I'm treating liver cancer. So the doctors are confused. Oh, yes. Literally, they are laughing at her. Literally. Because, I mean, we have your results here. We are watching you here. And you are saying you don't have liver cancer. And for every doctor who came to see her, you're the one with the liver cancer. I do not have liver cancer. I am treating liver cancer. Anyway, let's cut a long story short. They laughed at her. And they made faces and all that. Now, when the same people came back to use their mouth to declare her cancer free, you know what they said? Every doctor prays to have a patient like you. They said, because what kills people in cancer is not the sickness. It's that the news that comes to them already kills them before they die. The same people who laughed and said, in fact, when she was declared cancer free, America has a tradition, once you are declared cancer free, there's a particular bell they ring for you in the hospital. So literally they wanted to ring the bell. We said, no, we want to ring our own bell in church and just do thanksgiving to God. But this is the point I'm making. The same people who made faces. You've always been very positive. Congratulations. We heard of your result. You've always been very... Everyone came back and said, you are the kind of patient every doctor prays to have. He said, because our problem is not the sickness. The sickness we can fight. But the problem we have is that once the news arrives, patients already died. Months before they finally die. When the devil wants to deal with you, it won't come after any other thing. It first comes for your joy. It gives you a phone call. It gives you an information that literally, listen, I don't know if you've ever been there before. Have you heard of people who just got news that your brother died? 1 week after they themselves are dead. Come on, talk to me now. They just got news. Sorry, your husband passed on. Listen, the ones who didn't die immediately, that 1 month after where they died was when their body touched ground. They actually died the day the news came. Am I making sense to anybody? You see, your joy is so important, ladies and gentlemen. It's at the very core of your life. That's why the Bible says the kingdom of God is not right, it's not meat and drink. It's not really about teaching you how to survive life in terms of your provision, meat and drink. I think Romans 14:17, if I'm not mistaken, it says the kingdom of God is, it summarizes it in three things: righteousness, peace, and what? Your ability to service your joy. Because see, life will happen to you. I don't care who you are. Anointed, prayerful, fasting. See, it will happen to you. Just keep living. A day is coming, there's an information, there's a situation that will rock the very foundations of your belief, of your faith, of all the church you have been coming, all the message you have been receiving, all the sermon you have been getting. A day is coming when they will be tested. That's why the day of preparation for your battle is not the day of battle, it's before the battle. I never knew Kenneth Hagin had a popular YouTube channel, because he died when there was no YouTube, until my wife was healed. And I discovered, my wife starts her day with Kenneth Hagin, closes it with Kenneth Hagin, sleeps with Kenneth Hagin playing behind her. Word of faith. Word of faith. I gave her 100 healing scriptures. Those scriptures are on autoplay. 100 healing scriptures. She's listening to them. Why is she listening to them? Because at that point, it's called the fight of faith. But the Bible calls it a good fight. Why did he call it a good fight? Because if you can follow the principles, you are guaranteed of victory. But what most Christians do is that at that point, they embrace fear. And faith and fear are like two doors. One is here, one is over there. When faith comes, fear passes here. When fear comes, faith passes here. Two of them don't stay in the same room. They never ever can stay in the same room, like light and darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. It's so, your joy is so important. The Bible says the kingdom of God. One of the greatest essence of kingdom living, your ability to keep servicing your joy when life happens to you. James breaks it down. He says, listen, rejoice. When you suffer diverse, because a day is coming, you will see temptation, north, east, west, south. It will come from everywhere. Whilst you are trying to battle one, another phone call announces another one. As you are turning this way, Satan is waiting on the other side. Before you know what's happening, the moment you give up or embrace fear, faith just fizzles away. You just discover that even physically, you start getting weak. Even physically. Because the Bible says the spirit of a man is what sustains him in infirmity. And a broken spirit, nobody can handle it. One spirit is broken, you're gone, sir. The rest is only a matter of time. Is anybody hearing me this morning? You see, pastor, but I don't have that kind of joy. Me, a little problem, I don't tire. A little problem, I don't give up. This is the good news. Joy is called a fruit of the Spirit. What is the good news about it? It can be cultivated. It can be trained. It can be built. It can be nurtured. It can grow over time. There's nobody who has it like that. Why was Mama listening to Kenneth Hagin for 1 year around the clock? Healing scriptures for 1 year. She was nurturing it. She was nurturing it. She's the one feeling pain. She was losing weight rapidly. She's eating and losing weight. Eating and losing weight. When somebody is eating and losing weight, you know that's not normal. She's losing weight. The results are showing. I told you, Dr. Cardona brought a piece of paper. By the time we did autopsy, by the time we did biopsy, which was the last major test before they started procedure, it brought a piece of paper, divided it to two. Madam, from here to here, your liver is gone, half of it. You don't have liver any longer. The tumor has taken over everything. However, from here to here, you still have liver. He said, thank your God that I did not cross this line. Because if it had crossed this line, we'll not be discussing treatment with you. We'll be telling you to go put your house in order. The first day I walked into Winship Cancer Center in Midtown, Atlanta, I cried. I said, what am I doing in the cancer hospital? I'm supposed to be here to pray for the sick, not to bring in my wife here. I cried. I cried like a baby. I have no business in this place. Except to pray for the sick. How did we get here? Thank God for my wife. My wife did not shake mouth for 1 second. My wife never embraced that thing for 1 second. My wife, if I'm talking to somebody on the phone, maybe like I'm talking to Apostle Selman, okay? Or Pastor Jerry, my friend, all of them were part of this journey with me. Pastor Jerry was there, Selman was there, Pastor George was there. All these people stood with me throughout this period, praying with me, calling to check out, and so on. Some of them gave money, and so on. But this is the point I'm making. I'm talking to another person on the phone. It's actually my wife. My wife has liver cancer. I don't have liver cancer. She shouts, I'm not kidding you. I do not have liver cancer. I'm treating liver cancer. I don't have it. This woman never for one day embraced that thing. She put her foot on the ground, kept resisting it, kept fighting it. The kingdom of God is righteousness, how to live a good life before God, is peace, how to relate with fellow human beings, because people are crazy, just like you. They will annoy you, they will irritate you. And one of the interesting things about people is that sometimes you can't even tell what you did to them. You are smiling too much, it's a problem. You are dressing fine, it's a problem. There's somebody who is watching, how is she always looking happy? You know the next thing they do? They look for that person who is blessing you so they can spoil your name before them. This is human being, no? This is human being, sir. You didn't do anything to them, but why is she always happy anytime I see her in church? So they look for something bad, then they call your helpers and say, be careful, oh. Don't help people anyhow these days, oh. That's how one man helped somebody. They now use the help. They now went to juju with it. Before you know what's happening, they're destroying your name. That's human being. How do you live at peace with them? How do you eat on the same plate with Judas, even though you know that this man has already made up his mind to betray you? And he's already negotiating with your enemies for 30 pieces of silver. And you are still eating with him. That's how to live at peace. And finally, the kingdom of God is joy. Joy. What is joy? James now broke it down. Why that is a kingdom part. That's one of the greatest things you must learn in the kingdom. He said, because, he says, rejoice. Keep your joy together. Service your joy when you are surrounded with diverse temptation. Let me break this for you down. Please, see, I may not even enter my slide. If I don't, no problem. Once you get the message, that's fine. But let me break down why James was emphatic about you keeping your joy in the midst of the trials of life. Give me James chapter 1 verse 2. It's the translation I want to get out. There's a particular translation that gives me exactly what I'm looking for. James chapter 1 verse 2. Okay. Give it to me in the MSG. Even though TPT would have put it better. Everybody look at the screen. Consider it a shared gift. Friends, when your tests and challenges come at you at all sides. Now, notice King James says rejoice. Please, is that correct? Please talk to me. Now, in this other translation, that thing the Bible calls joy or rejoice, he said, consider it to be a gift. Okay? He says, when friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Next verse. Please give me the next verse now. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into open and shows its true colors. Just give me the TPT, Passion Translation. Give me Passion Translation. I think this will just make it simple. Go back to verse 2. Go back to verse 2. Please quickly. My brothers and sisters, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity. What's the opportunity? Opportunity to experience the greatest what? Can you talk to me? The greatest what? See it as an opportunity to experience the greatest joy. And by the way, let me be quick to say, joy is not happiness, oh. Joy is not happiness, oh. Happiness is a component of joy when you have serviced the trouble part. By the time you service the trouble part and you go through the storm, happiness finally comes. Because happiness is always related to happening. I bought a new car. I got a new job. I was promoted. This one happened. I just got an alert. That's happiness. It's not joy, yo. Joy is something on your inside. It's on your inside. When the Bible reported concerning David, after that the enemies invaded Ziklag, collected their women, children, all their goods, David came back. Even his own wife and children too were gone. He too is lamenting over the loss in his family. Guess what? He turned to the people and said, oh God, what do we do? They say, who is we? You are our leader. And we lost this stuff under you. You are saying, we what? The Bible said the people actually picked stones to stone him. Did you read that in your Bible? Come on, Nakoyakate. Is there any problem this morning? Deep into lost. As well as them. But they said, you are pastor. What happened to your anointing? Your anointing did not cover us. And you say you are a pastor. They pick stones so they can level him and say, okay, since there's the enemy who stole our thing, we can't find him. Let's turn you to the enemy. The Bible now mentions something. It says, but David did what? That's joy. David encouraged himself. Joy is when everything is falling apart, but you still look inwards and say, Father, I cannot lose my joy. I stand by the word of God. I will fight this battle and see the end. Whatever it will take, me and Satan, between me and Satan, somebody will give up and I'm not the one. Oh my God, are you in church this morning? Between you and me, somebody has to give up and I'm not the one because I'm a child of God. Encouraging yourself in the Lord is called joy. It's not happiness. So it is world falling apart, but you still make a choice. I'll be happy. I'll be happy. I'll be happy. There were times David had to speak to himself, why art you downcast, oh my soul? Don't submit to this thing, my friend. Be happy. Rejoice in the Lord. Because David knows that he's going down. Everybody's against him. Even his own son Absalom wants to kill him. What do you do when the battle is coming from inside your family? There are times where life happens to you. You have to encourage yourself. You have to summon. That's why God didn't put it outside, because it's easy to remove. But once it's inside, you can keep nurturing it no matter the fire you're going through. Am I in church this morning, somebody? I have plenty points to give you in my slide, but I will not be able to give you. Okay? Let me just exhort you and get out of your face. Is that okay? Now, Pastor, why is this joy thing so important? Why is it so, so important? Proverbs. Like I said, I'm not touching slide. I'll do so maybe the next service. Can we look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10? Proverbs 24, 10. Nothing will steal your joy. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
I said nothing will steal your joy.
Amen.
Listen to this. Don't forget what James says. He says, rejoice. When everything is happening, you fail the exam, your boss is threatening to fire you, things are not doing well financially, your parents are sick at home, you don't even know which fire to put out first. As you call fire brigade for this one, fire is burning in that place. You turn the fire brigade to this side, it's burning in that place. Which one are you going to put out? Life is happening your way. This was not the year I planned for. This was not what I thought I was going to see in 2025. What's going on here? James says, rejoice. Why are you rejoicing? He said, it's an opportunity to express what is on your inside. It's an opportunity to show what you carry. And then he went on, I wish I read the whole of that TPT translation. He says, because at the end of the day, he says, something good is coming out of it. I pray that something good will come out of you in the name of Jesus. The way my wife's trial ended in praise, ended in testimony. Listen to this. That trial for my wife was the beginning of a new phase of our ministry. Come on, is anybody hearing me? Yes, it's the beginning of a new phase of our assignment in God. Two of my wife's friends, they don't go to church. They do not visit. They were classmates in Federal Government College, Owerri. Federal Government Girls College, right, Owerri. They don't go to church. Mommy, we know them because they are part of our friends. They are all part of the thing. They do not go to church. When this incident happened, guess what? They said, if they never believed in God, they've seen God with Mama's case. When Mama's birthday came, we're not planning to go anywhere. Mama's birthday was a few days after surgery. She was still sore. They said, no, that they've already booked a restaurant. One of the most expensive Japanese restaurants. That Mama must come and eat food. That they must celebrate this life God gave her. We dressed Mama by force. All those pictures you saw were taken under painkiller. You were admiring, but you don't know the pain behind the picture. All those pictures were taken with painkiller. I had to force her to wear clothes, force her to put on a smile, force her to take those photographs, and so on. And that night we went to that Japanese buffet and ate good food, sponsored by. They refused me to bring it. I said, let me contribute. They said, no. Lie. Actually, one of them is the one. The other one is a Christian, but the other one, and her daughter, they don't go to church. Both her and her daughter, two of them said, you know what? Whatever it will take, we want to be the ones to pay for it. And they sponsored that dinner at an expensive restaurant and refused any contribution from us. They said, because if we didn't believe in God before, now we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Give it to me. Proverbs 24, 10. Everybody want to go? If thou faint in the day of adversity, what happens to you? Talk to me, what happens to you? Your strength is small. Now the question you want to ask is, what strength is he talking about? Is it your biceps? Is it your triceps? Is it your gym? Nehemiah answered the question. Chapter 8, verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your what? Talk to me, oh, is your what now? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord, if you faint, in the midst of this trial James was talking about, okay, your strength is small. But how do we measure the size of your strength? James said it's very simple. Let's gauge your joy level, not your happiness level. Not your happiness level. Let's check on your inside how much joy you carry. How much joy you carry. See, let me close on this note. 6 minutes to go. There's a king in the Bible called Hezekiah. Anybody say Hezekiah? Talk to me. Anybody say Hezekiah? Hezekiah was one of Israel's great kings. Or great kings. Why is that king important to me? As I wrap up. That king is important to me, ladies and gentlemen, because when I was studying about Hezekiah, I discovered, I said, what is even the meaning of this man's name? I know what I found out. The word Hezekiah, every time you see a name begins in the Bible with Yah or end with Yah. That word means Yahweh. Is anybody hearing me? Or it begins with El, Elijah, Elias, Elijah, Elisha, and so on. That El is Elohim. It's Elohim. If it ends with Yah, it's Yahweh. So it's always connected with Yah, something. God is, that is, God is. So Hezekiah means God strengthens. God strengthens. Remember, we're talking about joy. You remember? Are you still with me, somebody? We're talking about joy. Hezekiah simply means God strengthens. So I said there must be something connected to joy. And this guy called Hezekiah. So two major things happened to Hezekiah. The first one, ladies and gentlemen, was that the Bible told us the king of Assyria called Sennacherib sent a threat letter to him in 2 Kings chapter 19. I don't know if I have the time to read it, but verse 14. 2 Kings 19, 14. Sent a threat letter to him, and the Bible received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I'm talking about what threatens your joy. Okay, and so on and so forth. And then he prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells within the cherubims, blah, 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 blah. Next verse. Lord, bow down your ear and hear, O Lord, your eyes, your and see, and the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Please go up there. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria destroyed the nation. These people are powerful people. Lord. We don't hear of how they took out this, they took out that, they took out Lebanon, they took out the other one. Okay? And they've cast all their gods into the fire. They are very powerful people. And they don't even respect people, God. So God, we don't know whether I'm going to respect you. You know what I'm talking about? They cast out their gods. They even say that they are not gods, but the works of man's hand. Blah, 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 blah. Next verse. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech you, save thou us out of this hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even thou only. Now God answered that prayer, did he? I don't know who I'm speaking to. I told you one of the things that will threaten your joy is a letter. It's a medical report. It's something that comes. It's a phone call. It's a WhatsApp message. But you see, I came this morning prophetically to announce to every letter, every threat in your life. Everything that you receive, and some of you, is a letter from the landlord. Some of you, is the court letter. Some of you, is the other letter that came from your office. For some of you, it's a letter from the hospital. Just looking at your condition and saying, oh boy, we don't know what to do. We're sorry. There's nothing we can do. But I don't know if there's anybody here under any threat. If there's anybody here who is dealing with a situation that is threatening your life. Like Hezekiah, I take that letter that was sent to you, that email, that WhatsApp, that threat, that thing that is threatening your health or your life or whatever, I present it before this altar. And in the name that is above every name, the name at the which the Bible says, the mention of which every knee must bow, I declare every threat turn around to become a testimony in the name of Jesus. May the God of Hezekiah arise on your behalf, and may God send this battle against your enemy in the name of Jesus. I declare that the same Sennacherib who threatened you will be the first to bow before you in the name of Jesus. Can you shout a loud amen, somebody? Amen. Can you shout a better amen, somebody? I declare that every threat against your destiny, your future, your marriage, your health, your business, your finances, by the power of the Lord, that letter, that email, that that WhatsApp is brought before this altar, and under the hand of God, it is judged in the name of Jesus. I said it will not steal your joy. It will not take your strength. It will not tamper with your destiny. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give you Ezekiah victory, gives you victory over every Sennacherib. In the mighty name of Jesus. The second threat, which brings me to my closing this morning, that he got, was that that man became sick. There was another threat, this time was specifically. And according to the Bible, it was a deadly terminal disease. It was a cancer of some sort that no doctor can do anything about it. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 5, gave us the story. And the Bible says, in those days was Ezekiah sick unto death. God even sent Elijah, his prophet, to prophesy to him. Say, put your house in order, you will surely die. Now go to verse 3 for time's sake. And he said, okay, from verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. Please, everybody watch me. Everybody follow this. My name is Ezekiah. My name means the strength of the Lord. No matter what I'm passing through in life, I have learned how to service my strength, how to preserve that strength. Now there is a threat on me. This time it's not Sennacherib. This time it's coming from inside. My very life is threatened by a sickness I cannot cure. Doctors have given up on me. But Lord, I want you to remember that that I have walked before you. Perfect. I have done. It says, remember now. Let me read it again. It says, remember, I have walked before you in truth. In other words, according to your word, with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in your sight. He wept sore. And it came to pass that when Isaiah has gone out to the middle of the court, the word of the Lord returned to him again, saying, turn again. Tell Ezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, the God of David, thy father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the fourth day, you will go up to the house of Israel. What did Ezekiah do? In summary, everybody look up here. Ezekiah, at this point, for those of you who think it was just his tears that moved God, for those of you who think it was just his crying that moved God, if you read your Bible, if you're a student of the Bible, you know that people's tears don't move God. The crying and the tears were manifestation of something bigger. What the bigger picture there is that he said, listen, remember. Everybody say, remember. I can't hear you say, remember. Remember. The thanksgiving we are giving this morning is a remember thanksgiving on behalf of your entire family. Father, Father, my uncle cannot die, remember. Nothing can happen. I hear my child fell from a story building, but Lord, I don't care what happened. Whatever the devil tried to do, I only came this morning to say, remember. That's all I came to do. Remember. Remember, on behalf of this child, I came before your altar. I dropped a sacrifice. I lifted that envelope. I obeyed every word that my pastor said. If you are God, and I know you are God, remember. Remember. Remember the sacrifice I made on behalf of this, my father. Our agreement is that he must attend my wedding. He will not die until I've married. In fact, he will carry my child. He will be the one to give the first name to my child before me, even my husband. He will give a name to my child. Father, remember, I made a covenant with you. My father will be the one that will walk me down the aisle, not my uncle, not another man that did not pay my school fees. Lord, remember. Lord, remember. 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 Remember, I don't know which Ezekiah I'm talking to. Ezekiah is the strength of the Lord. I don't know what is threatening your strength or threatening your joy, coming after you, threatening to bring you down, threatening to make sure that you will not make it in 2025. I came to announce to you, according to the word of the Lord, concerning you and your family, there shall be no loss. I said there shall be no loss. I said there shall be no loss. I said there shall be no loss. Shout a living amen, somebody. And by the way, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice who has a death sentence over your life, either by a sickness or a situation. You have a hole in the heart. The doctors have said that you can't make it to this point. You are diagnosed with sickle cell anemia. And they have said that, well, if we'll make it to 30, you try. Or there's something around you. Or there's somebody you know that is in the family member. A family member, as I'm speaking. You know that person's life is hanging on a loose thread. Any minute from now, For most times, you're even expecting the bad news. Anytime you get a call from that part of the village or that part of your family, you don't die, you don't finally go, and so on. I came this morning in the name that is above every name. Can you lift up your right hand? If you can't stand up, if you don't mind, just stand up on your feet. Jebele ketene brakatana, akombre kesete mina bros kavadina deka. Lift up the envelope. Lift up the envelope with you. Jebele kombre kasonde. My time is up. My sermon is over. I will preach my slides in the second service. Rekote mando brokos kebe dene breketenia. Abalago dene breka suvele kete. Rosbende ginamu regadina sabadino. Empregadina rogazila badani arasove. Epenkredina kombrokos kebede. Every threat from that sickness against that member of your family or against you, every threat from your place of work that is saying you're not even sure of the job in 2025, you're not sure whether they are going to post you to a place that you don't want to go to, but whatever it is a threat. I came this morning to declare that I am under an anointing to deal with everything that will come against the strength of God, the Ezekiah, the joy of God in your life. And this morning I declare, sickness be judged, sickness be judged, sickness be judged. I command that sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Infirmity, go in the name of Jesus. Disease, bow in the name of Jesus. Plague, go in the name of Jesus. I stand in covenant this morning and I declare that every threat against your life, return back to sender. Return back to sender. Return back to sender. Return back to sender. The God who reversed his own word. He was the one that told Elijah, tell him put your house in order. But that God reversed his own word. God turned back his own prophecy. I don't know. See, if God can turn his own word, is it the word of doctors he can't turn? Is it the word of a human being like you who attend, whose own life is in the hands of God? Is it that one you are scared of? I came to prophesy over someone under the sound of my voice. Every negative prophecy concerning your peace, concerning the peace of your family, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I command it is reversed. I said it is reversed. I said it is reversed. I said it is reversed. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare this morning that the Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, but it's not only sufficient for you to be settled in heaven, it has to be settled on earth also. So whatever is the word of the Lord concerning that situation, I command that word settled in your family, settled in your life, settled in your health, settled in your business, settled in your destiny, settled in your marriage, settled with your children. Shout amen, somebody. I came to announce to somebody, God will not put you to shame. You know, there's something that will happen, your enemy will start celebrating. Because that thing which they wanted to come, they wanted to happen to you, finally happened to you. But God gave me an anointing this morning to declare over you, over your family, the enemy will not rejoice over you. The enemy will not rejoice over you. See, the Bible says, he that believeth in him shall not be ashamed. I came to declare over you that your enemy will eat their words. Your enemy will eat their words. Your enemy will eat their words. By the power of this anointing, I declare, God will not put you to shame. It won't put your family to shame. It won't put your children to shame. It won't put your wife to shame. In the name of Jesus Christ, the God who reversed his own prophecy, reverse that negative report. Reverse that threat over your life. Reverse that situation in your family. Reverse the situation with your finances. Reverse that situation with your business. I stand as God's prophet and I declare, let God be true. Let every other report be a liar concerning you in the name of Jesus. Before this year is over, you will testify. Your family will testify. Your children will testify. Your wife, your husband will testify. Your parents will testify. And I repeat myself, every death sentence, every covenant with death, every agreement with the grave, with hell, I declare by this anointing, they are annulled in the name of Jesus. They are canceled in the name of Jesus. They shall not stand in the name of Jesus. I bless every single member of your family. I covenant every single member of your family. I pray for every single member of your family whose names appear on that paper. By covenant, I declare over them, there shall be no loss. There shall be no loss. There shall be no loss. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift up the envelope with the sacrifice. And if you made a transfer, please put account details on the screen. Remove slide. Just put account details for those who are making transfers. Father, this is a covenant. This is a thanksgiving of life. It's a sacrifice from the hearts of those people according to the instruction of God on behalf of their families. I pray for everyone who came in obedience to the instruction to say, Lord, for my wife, for my children, for my parents, for my sisters, for my brothers. I pray for every one of them. As they release this sacrifice to you this morning, let heaven honor their sacrifice in the name of Jesus. Heaven honor your sacrifice in the name of Jesus. As you release this sacrifice, I pray that in the day of trouble, you will be able to turn back and say, Lord, remember. This sacrifice is a sacrifice of remember. I pray, oh God, let this sacrifice come before you as a memorial, that they can boldly beat their chest in the day of trouble and say, Lord, remember. This is my declaration of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.